From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Full Circle Sustainability in Topeka, on a mission to make low-waste living easier with local and low-waste groceries, soap refills, recycling, and composting. Information at FullCircleSustainability.org.
It's 47 degrees in Lawrence, 42 in Manhattan. It's 6:06. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence. Also at 91.3 FM in Junction City, many other frequencies as well. Always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate you making KPR your evening companion. In our next 30 minutes, an update of news headlines. That happens at 6:30. 6:36, we will tell you more about investigations into these ICE shootings. Before we get to 7 o'clock, we are going to talk about the president's foreign policy and why it seems so much more aggressive than in his last administration. And we're going to learn more about the privatization of parking meters. Now, if you are from Chicago or have relatives in Chicago or have been to Chicago, you know this is a very big deal. So we are going to talk about that at quarter of the hour. Stay tuned here on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Peasley Tech in Lawrence, Kansas. The Peasley Promise offers debt-free career training for local high school students and low-income Douglas County residents. Details and donation information at peasleytech.org/peasleypromise.
KPR is throwing a really big party next month to celebrate this 30th anniversary of the Retro Cocktail Hour. We'll be hosting two concerts, one by the band Exotica Cocktail, the other by the band Nutty. Both will take place at Liberty Hall. If you buy your tickets to see Nutty by noon on Sunday, you get a 30% discount. Get the scoop at kansaspublicradio.org. 50% chance of rain this evening, lows in the mid-30s, partly sunny tomorrow with a high in the mid-40s, 50% chance of rain and snow tomorrow evening. It's 6:20.
NPR News.
The mayor of Minneapolis is pretty sure what he thinks of a shooting in his city.
To ICE, get the out of Minneapolis. We do not want you here.
Homeland Security officials offer a different story that video does not back up. What questions remain and what more information comes to light? Tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
You can hear Morning Edition tomorrow on both KPR 1 and KPR 2 from 5 to 9 a.m. Matthew Algio will have your local news. Support for All Things Considered on Kansas Public Radio comes from historic LeCompton's Bleeding Kansas series of talks and dramatic interpretations over the issue of slavery in Kansas and the nation. Sundays from January 25th through March the 1st. Details at LeComptonKansas.com. News headlines are coming up next. The time is 6:30.
Prosecutor was unlawfully appointed. Ryan Lucas, NPR News, Washington.
Stocks finished mixed on Wall Street today. You're listening to NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. The woman shot and killed by an ICE agent in Minnesota has ties to Kansas City and to Kansas. Renee Nicole Good lived near the Waldo neighborhood of Kansas City until December of 2024. KCTV reports that Renee Good's parents live in Valley Falls. A more than $2 million grant is restoring funding to a regional support network for small farms and food enterprises in Kansas and Missouri. In February, the new growth program lost USDA funding as part of cuts by the Trump administration. Kansas State University Extension works with New Growth, and Marlon Bates, who is with K-State Extension, says the organization helps connect local farmers with training and other help.
And so ensuring that there are regional conversations about the work of building more resilient local and regional food systems is an important thing that truly just hasn't really been happening in any meaningful way.
The grant to restart the program comes from the Patterson Family Foundation. Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice is once again connected to troubles off the field. Greg Eklund has that story.
Rashee Rice, who served a six-game NFL suspension to begin last season because of troubles as the result of a car crash in Dallas, is being accused of domestic abuse by an ex-girlfriend. In his first game back after last season's suspension, Rice said at the time he had learned the price of off-the-field problems.
You don't really notice how much you love someone until it's gone or possibly could be gone. I was able to get a glimpse of that, and, you know, I don't ever want to feel that again.
Now the Chiefs say in a statement that they and the NFL are aware of allegations that were made in a social media post by a former girlfriend. She alleges she dealt with what she characterizes as abuse from Rice for years. Neither the Chiefs nor the NFL provided any further details on their possible response. I'm Greg Eklund.
50% chance of rain overnight, partly sunny for Friday. 50% chance of rain and snow on Friday evening. Little or no accumulation is expected. You're listening to KPR.
For NPR, it comes from this station.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Next time on the Retro Cocktail Hour, Bing Crosby goes Hawaiian, Les Baxter goes Caribbean, and Mr. Bongo is live in Hollywood. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Join me where the music is always shaken, not stirred. The Retro Cocktail Hour, Saturday night at 7 on KPR.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence. Also at 96.1 FM in Lawrence and many other frequencies around the state. Listen online anytime at kansaspublicradio.org. We do still have about 11 minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. If you are joining us on KPR1 stations, stay tuned at 7 o'clock for Classics Live. If you're joining us on KPR2 at 7 o'clock, we have Prairie Journal with Kay McIntyre.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Times, an online news publication covering Lawrence and Douglas County since 2021, with a goal of maintaining open news access for all. News and more at lawrencekstimes.com.
Sort of a mixed bag weather-wise. 50% chance of rain this evening, lows in the mid-30s. Sunshine tomorrow, highs in the mid-40s. 50% chance of rain and snow tomorrow evening with a slight chance of snow after midnight. As of right now, they're saying little to no accumulation, lows in the upper 20s.
Support for KPR comes from Eagles Rest, a locally owned natural mattress and furniture store in Lawrence with heirloom quality furniture by Acornis, Copeland, Sisco Brothers, and Younger. Online at EaglesRestNaturalHome.com.
It's 45 degrees in Lawrence. It's 10 minutes before 7.
Surrounding a shooting in Minneapolis. And we'll have the latest on the next Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations. From 5 to 9 a.m., it is Morning Edition. Your national host is Steve Inskeep. Your local host is Matthew Algio. Get caught up on everything from overnight. Tomorrow morning, it's a great way to start your day.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care. Winter dormancy is the ideal season for pruning mature trees, especially elms and oaks. More information at kansastreecare.com or by calling 785-843-TREE.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3, on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Green Lady Lounge is located at 1809 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City. Information at greenladylounge.com.
Stay with us. Up next, Classics Live. followed by an hour of evening classical music. Then at 9 o'clock, it's Jazz in the Night with music from the Vinyl Vault. 50% chance of rain tonight, lows in the mid-30s. Partly sunny tomorrow with a high in the mid-40s. 50% chance of rain and snow tomorrow evening. It's 7:01.
Welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Cordelia Brown, your plus one here in the audience of the Polsky Theater in the Midwest Trust Center at Johnson County Community College. The musical guests today in this Doreen Mirande professional recital series are two people who have a lot in common, Jeffrey and Karen Savage. They both play piano at UMKC, they're married, and their duo together is called 88 Squared. And the program looks really good. They'll be doing a two-piano fantasy, lots of themes from The Wizard of Oz, not just Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Now Karen is stage right at a Steinway 9-foot grand with another piano just like it, stage left for Jeffrey, arranged so that they can see each other as they're facing each other. They're going to start with a non-allegro from Rachmaninoff's Symphonic Dances, Opus 45.
thank you very much for coming out today. It's wonderful to see such a great crowd. As you may have surmised from the program, the duo pieces that we're playing today are all transcriptions. So the Rachmaninoff that you heard, consistent with its title, Symphonic Dances, was originally written for a symphony orchestra. And the solo pieces that you're hearing today are drawn from a program that I've been playing in a few places this year so far. They are all impressionist pieces. I will play the Debussy first, but instead of the Ravel, I'd like to treat you with a little bit of Spanish impressionist music, a piece by Isaac Albéniz called Evocación. It's the first piece of his set of Iberia pieces, and this is a set of 12 pieces, and he actually titles them 12 new impressionist works. So we don't necessarily always think of Spanish music as impressionist, but it does use many of the same musical tools that the French impressionists did at the same time. So hope you enjoy these pieces by Debussy and Albéniz. Thank you.
Is by our colleague at UMKC, Sean Chen, and he is married to a violinist, Betty, in the KC Symphony. And after many years of hearing her play this, he was thinking, when we received a grant from UMKC to commission a few new works, he said, well, I really have been thinking this third sonata for solo violin by Isai would be a really interesting fit to try to explore the different harmonies, and his arrangement is so creative and brilliant, just like he is. And one of our missions as a duo is to, we don't have a large body of works compared to like string quartet or piano trios or piano quartets, so we've over the years commissioned a number of pieces, and I have to say this is one of our, probably our favorite one, because he's a pianist and he understands how to play idiomatically, and he understands different harmonies. So I see a few violinist friends out there who will be interested to see what you think about the combination of the two piano arrangement, and we just are really grateful to Sean for being willing to make this for us. So this is the KC debut of it, right? And it was just written, I think, completed just over a year ago.
Thank you.
Again, you may not recognize these composers necessarily as impressionist. We don't think of American music being impressionist so much, but I think you will hear elements of that in both of these pieces. Perhaps the language itself more in the Griffiths, but I think the atmosphere and the color also in the Amy Beach piece. I just want to mention one other piece about one other aspect of the Amy Beach piece. If we have any ornithologists in the room, you will actually hear what Amy Beach transcribed as being the true call of the hermit thrush in this first piece. So she worked for many summers at the McDowell colonies. She composed there and loved to take walks in the woods. And she even makes a note at the bottom of the score of this piece that she transcribed these bird calls in the original key that the bird sang them. So I hope you enjoy these two pieces by Amy Beach and Charles Griffiths.
Thank you.
Wasn't that a great arrangement of tunes from Harold Arlen, from The Wizard of Oz? We even heard the little Schumann piece, The Happy Farmer, or The Merry Peasant, from the scene set in Kansas, like Dorothy and Toto running from Miss Gulch, when Toto escapes the bicycle basket, and during the tornado sequence. It was arranged for two pianos by William Hertz. We've been enjoying a great concert from the Kansas City Piano Duo, 88 Squared. The 88 Squared Piano Duo is Karen and Jeff Savage. Both are pianists at UMKC. They are popular guests here in this series at the Midwest Trust Center for the Performing Arts here in Johnson County Community College. KPR's recording engineer, Chuck Smith, recorded this recital for Classics Live, so we could share it with you. I'm your Classics Live producer, Cordelia Brown. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. The Romance, Opus 37 by Camille Saint-Saëns, recorded in KPR's live performance studio with flutist Annie Ganoyak and pianist Ellen Summer. This has been Classics Live from KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
It's Layla Faldin. Look, I won't say that listening to Morning Edition makes you cool. I mean, I think that. But you might learn something that does.
One of the latest fitness fads involves wearing a weighted vest as you walk around.
Ed Sheeran has a new album that's bursting with international flavor.
The American Association of Orthodontists declared that braces have never been cooler.
Stay in the know with Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find classical music and NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. We are KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. You can listen at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Two people were shot and wounded by an immigration agent in Portland, Oregon today. They've been transported to local hospitals. A Homeland Security spokesperson says the shooting took place while agents were conducting a vehicle stop on alleged Venezuelan migrant gang members. The spokesperson says the driver attempted to run over the agents, one of whom fired a defensive shot. Portland Mayor Keith Wilson called it a deeply troubling incident. The FBI says it's leading an investigation. Protests continue across the country after the fatal shooting of a Minneapolis woman by an immigration officer yesterday. Demonstrators in the Twin Cities say they won't rest until the officer's held accountable. NPR's Juliana Kim reports.
Black Lives Matter Minnesota co-founder Trahern Cruz isn't surprised how quickly protests began after the death of Renee Nicole Good. He noted that Good, a 37-year-old white mother of three, was shot less than a mile from where George Floyd was killed by police in 2020.
So we have definitely feel like we're ground zero for the fight for police accountability and social justice.
Cruz says protesters want to see accountability for the use of force, which the Trump administration defended as an act of self-defense. Similar protests took place in Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, and Portland, Oregon, with many more planned nationwide this weekend. Juliana Kim, NPR News.
The deadly shooting in Minneapolis isn't the first time over the last year immigration agents have killed someone. NPR's Sergio Martinez-Beltran explains.
We've seen shootings by ICE agents. In fact, The Trace, a nonprofit newsroom that focuses on gun violence, has identified at least 14 shootings in ICE raids since January of last year. Now, NPR hasn't independently confirmed all of these shootings, but we've reported on some of them. Chicago has seen some of the most high-profile shootings. Last year, a Mexican immigrant was killed after attempting to drive away from immigration agents. Also last year in Chicago, agents fired at a woman while she was still in her car, injuring her.
NPR's Sergio Martinez-Beltran reporting. A crew of four is making an early return from the International Space Station due to an astronaut's serious medical issue. Central Florida Public Media's Brendan Byrne reports.
The medical concern forced the cancellation of a planned spacewalk, and now it's prompting what NASA Administrator Jared Isaacman is calling a medical evacuation.
After discussions with Chief Health and Medical Officer Dr. J.D. Polk, and leadership across the agency, I've come to the decision that it's in the best interest of our astronauts to return Crew 11 ahead of their planned departure.
He says the crew will depart the station in the next few days. They were planning to stay until a replacement crew arrived next month. It's the first time a NASA mission has been cut short for medical reasons. A NASA medical official says the ailment was not caused by preparations for the spacewalk or an injury sustained working at the station. For NPR News, I'm Brendan Byrne in Orlando.
Wall Street closed mixed today. The S&P 500 barely budged. This is NPR News.
Stardate January 8th. If today is your birthday, then happy birthday. The next one is just 1 year away, 365 sunrises and sunsets. If today is your birthday and you happen to be from Jupiter, well, happy birthday, and we're sorry. Your next one is almost 12 Earth years away, almost 10,500 sunrises and sunsets. The Jovian year is so long for a couple of reasons. First, the planet is more than five times farther from the sun than Earth is. So its path around the sun is more than five times longer than Earth's. The second reason is the laws of orbital motion. The farther a planet is from the sun, the slower its orbital speed. At Jupiter's great range, it moves at less than half the speed of Earth. Ergo, one Jovian year lasts almost 12 Earth years. But to get all those sunrises and sunsets, you also have to factor in the length of a Jovian day. Although Jupiter is 11 times the diameter of Earth, it spins in a hurry. A day lasts less than 10 hours. Add it all up, multiply, divide, and carry the two, and, well, it's a lot of days between birthdays on the sun's largest planet. Jupiter is especially vibrant now. It reaches opposition this weekend. It lines up opposite the sun in our sky. It rises around sunset and is in view all night. The planet is also closest to us, so it shines at its brightest. In fact, in all the night sky right now, only the moon outshines it. More about Jupiter tomorrow. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Hi, I'm Jake Armerding, and I'm so glad to be with you, listening to some music. Here's English composer Samuel Coleridge Taylor. He got his chance to take a crack at some Shakespeare in the early 1900s. His Majesty's Theatre in London was staging a performance of Othello. Coleridge Taylor got the nod, and he didn't let them down. Here's what he wrote. the Shinike Orchestra performing a suite of incidental music written for a production of Othello, a 1912 production by Samuel Coleridge Taylor. Belgian organist and music teacher Joseph Jungen is not considered the greatest Belgian composer in history. That honor belongs to César Franck. He's considered the second greatest, which, I mean, come on, that's still pretty cool. Ivan Illich performing the Little Prelude No. 22, Scarlatiana, by Belgian composer Joseph Jungen. Stravinsky salutes Tchaikovsky. Coming up in a moment.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, working to address major challenges in disease prevention and treatment, sustainable energy solutions, and more. Information about KU research is at ku.edu. And the Lead Center and the KU School of Music hosting the Prairie Winds Festival, featuring percussionist Jason Truding, Saturday, February 7th, 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available at lead.ku.edu.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 42 and cloudy. Wind is from the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low in the low 30s. Wind will be from the northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the mid-40s. Wind will be from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. It's 42 and cloudy. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Igor Stravinsky wrote this one-act ballet as an homage to Tchaikovsky on the 35th anniversary of Tchaikovsky's death. He put all kinds of little Easter eggs in there from Tchaikovsky's early pieces. Then he refused to reveal which of them he used. How very cryptic. Here's the Divertimento from The Fairy's Kiss.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ricardo Chailly conducting the London Sinfonietta, the Divertimento from The Fairy's Kiss by Stravinsky. Coming up, Aaron J. Kernis takes the high road.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, as well as online at kansaspublicradio.org. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Full Circle Sustainability in Topeka, offering recycling and composting services, package-free groceries, and locally grown food. More details at fullcirclesustainability.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 42 and cloudy. Wind is from the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low in the low 30s. Wind will be from the northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the mid-40s. Wind will be from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. It's 42 and cloudy. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Composer Aaron J. Kernis had his differences with the principal conductor of the New York Philharmonic in the 1980s. A guy who kind of liked to throw his weight around a little bit. I say love your enemies, but that doesn't mean you can't celebrate when they resign. Here's a tune by Kernis called New Era Dance, written in 1992 in celebration of a new era of leadership at the New York Philharmonic. David Zinman conducting the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, The New Era Dance by Aaron J. Kernis, his not-so-subtle rejoicing of a change in leadership at the New York Philharmonic.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area.
It's 42 and cloudy. Wind is from the west-northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low in the low 30s. Wind will be from the northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then tomorrow a few showers with a high in the mid-40s. Tomorrow night mostly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. It's 42 and cloudy.
Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Two people were shot and wounded by an immigration agent in Portland, Oregon today. They've been taken to a local hospital. Portland Mayor Keith Wilson called it a deeply troubling incident.
We know what the federal government says happened here. There was a time when we could take them at their word. That time is long past. That is why we are calling on ICE to halt all operations in Portland until a full and independent investigation can take place. Our community deserves answers. Our community deserves accountability. And most of all, our community deserves peace.
A Homeland Security spokesperson says the shooting took place while agents were conducting a vehicle stop on alleged Venezuelan migrant gang members. The spokesperson says the driver attempted to run over the agents, one of whom fired a defensive shot. The FBI says it's leading an investigation. Meanwhile, the FBI will be the sole law enforcement agency investigating the fatal shooting of a Minneapolis woman by an ICE officer yesterday. NPR's Meg Anderson reports Minnesota officials say they have reluctantly withdrawn from the investigation.
In a statement, Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension Superintendent Drew Evans said the U.S. Attorney for the District of Minnesota had, quote, reversed course. Now the state agency won't have access to the evidence needed to do an independent investigation of the shooting. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is questioning whether an FBI investigation without the state would be fair.
People in positions of power have already passed judgment, from the president to the vice president to Kristi Noem, have stood and told you things that are verifiably false.
Noem is the U.S. Homeland Security Secretary. The Minnesota U.S. Attorney's Office could not be reached for comment. Meg Anderson, NPR News.
The White House ballroom project got its first public hearing before a planning commission dominated by appointees of President Trump. NPR's Tamara Keith reports a few new details were revealed.
A White House official and the architect leading the ballroom project presented an overview to the National Capital Planning Commission, including drawings and renderings of what the structure, as designed, would look like next to the existing White House. Architect Shalom Baranis said the ballroom will seat 1,000 people and have a footprint of 22,000 square feet. There had been talk of going bigger, but
further consideration of enlarging the size was abandoned in late November.
He said said the overall project is 89,000 square feet. The commission didn't vote on the ballroom. That will come at a future meeting. Tamara Keith, NPR News.
The IRS will start accepting 2025 tax returns on January 26th. The deadline is April 15th. The IRS is facing challenges, including tens of thousands of layoffs. It's NPR. Humanitarian group Doctors Without Borders says it's suspending services at a clinic in a violent neighborhood in Haiti's capital, given ongoing clashes between police and armed groups. The nonprofit offered the only medical services available in the area of Port-au-Prince. It served several thousand patients each month. The group says the violent clashes trapped seven community volunteers at the clinic for several hours on Tuesday. President Trump is pulling the U.S. out of a bedrock treaty to deal with climate change. NPR's Michael Copley reports it's part of a broader effort by the Trump administration to remove the country from dozens of international groups.
For three decades, the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change has been the basis for global efforts to limit heat-trapping emissions. The State Department says the convention is one of 66 international organizations that no longer serve U.S. interests. Critics say the U.S. is forfeiting its ability to shape global climate initiatives. Trump refused to send a delegation to UN climate negotiations last year in Brazil, and the president had already pulled the U.S. out of the Paris Agreement, which set a goal to limit global warming to 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit above pre-industrial levels. The Natural Resources Defense Council, an environmental group, says the U.S. could rejoin both agreements under a future administration. Michael Copley, NPR News.
More artificial intelligence is being implanted into Gmail as Google tries to turn the world's most used email service into a personal assistant. The program seeks to improve writing, create to-do lists, and summarize information buried in inboxes. The AI options will only be available in English within the U.S. to start. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Luminescence Foundation. Luminescence Foundation is dedicated to shedding light on neurological research focused on Alzheimer's and Parkinson's diseases and supporting land conservation initiatives. This is NPR.
Come along with me into mystery. We'll all explore the moon and we won't be back if our fuel holds out. We'll go sailing right into space. Let's make haste. Don't hesitate, we're gonna be the first to get there. Everybody's talking, countries are squawking about their latest rockets. You come and go with me, we will be the first to see what there is to see. I bet there's nothing there but an awful lot of space in air. But we'll soon know because we're taking off and going to the moon. Counting down, 10, 9, 7, 6, 5, 4, here we go. Although I hope you won't be frightened if you find we are lighting on a planet called the moon. I'm sure we'll be there soon, except I hope you're ready because I know that everything is okay. All aboard, are you ready? Hope your nerves are steady. The humming, 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 humming you hear, all in your ear. It's just the motor of my rocket, dear. Hope you understand. The press was here, I have no fear. Hey now, buckle down. We're about to leave this old earth and we are not coming back until a thousand years have made us old and gray. Say goodbye to everybody now, I'm cutting out. Although I'm feeling kind of funny because I should have made a dry run just to make sure that my ship was okay. We'll go zooming away. Way up, like a comet we'll go shooting with a burst of speed. Did you say you didn't want to go? Put your suit on and we will soon be off. Everybody else is all set. Hey, you can bet we'll get as high as anyone can get. On Jupiter and Mars, we'll stop for lunch. And then we'll be headed for the moon as high as we can get. We'll be living in the atmosphere. Time is near. Thank you.
appreciate what we're about to do. We're conveying back to you whatever we can find to put you here, so you won't think that you're behind. Goodbye, we're taking off. We won't get lost. We'll be living on the moon. We hope that you can get there soon.
That is Eddie Jefferson, and he used Lester Young's solo from back in the late 40s to It's Only a Paper Moon to come up with his own lyrics to that solo, and also come up with some lyrics in general. And he titled the new song Come Along With Me, or Lester's Trip to the Moon, here for you on KPR. It's from the 1969 LP, Come Along With Me. That was the year of the moon landing. But Eddie wrote those words some 20 years before. It's our all-vinyl hour this hour here on KPR. I'm Bob McWilliams, Eddie Jefferson there, with trumpeter Bill Hardman and alto saxophonist Charles McPherson, plus Barry Harris, Gene Taylor, Bill English, piano, bass, and drums. In a little bit, we'll hear Benny Golson and Benny Golson's New York Scene, great album from the composer and saxophonist from back in 1957. We've got trumpeter Donald Byrd, one of his fine recordings for Blue Note Records. And up next, it's pianist Bobby Timmons' trio here on KPR. This is done not long after he left Art Blakey's band and formed his own trio. And the album called The Bobby Timmons Trio in Person, recorded live at the Village Vanguard. And what a trio, with Albert Tootie Heath drums and Ron Carter on bass. In fact, this one features the great Ron Carter on bass, who's still going strong, by the way. And it's Softly As in a Morning Sunrise from the Bobby Timmons Trio on Jazz in the Night. Thank you. pianist Bobby Timmons' trio. Recorded live at the Village Vanguard in 1961, the LP called the Bobby Timmons Trio in person. Bobby at the piano, Ron Carter bass, Albert Tudy Heath drums, and we heard the feature for this live show for bassist Ron Carter on Softly as in a Morning Sunrise, and then for the set closing theme, Bobby's tune, Dat Dare, here on KPR, All Vinyl Jazz Hour, with the Lee Konitz Nonette, in Holland in 1979, Trumpeter Donald Byrd, and more on the way. And right now, a great album by Benny Golson called Benny Golson's New York Scene. And this was on Contemporary Records, recorded October of 1957. And it had Benny's future partner in the jazz tet, Art Farmer, playing trumpet, with Wynton Kelly on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, and Charlie Persip on drums. That's where half the track's quintet. The other half were a larger band. We'll hear the quintet in one of the many great Benny Golson's tunes. It is Step Lightly, the LP Benny Golson's New York Scene on KPR.